I know one of them says
Exactly.
blessed. What's the other one say? Is it like favored or
blessed?
Forever?
Blessed is on the right arm.
Oh, is it
Yes.
forever? Is it
Forever
forever?
blessed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Come on.
He truly is.
And it's in like the most, oh man,
It's basic.
terrible. Very basic white boy tat.
It's like a very specific brand of white boy too. He's like the Matty B. Raps of the NBA.
Oh,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess, where we discuss the hottest takes of the hottest league in the world, the National Non-Basketball Association. Thank you, copyright. I'm Jared, your local basketball fan.
I'm Joe, your local non-horse.
And I'm Will, your local new Carly Rae album enjoyer.
Ooh, okay. And this week, we actually were entered into the basketball podcasting lottery, where we compete and we wait for a new guest, and we lost. So today we have Matt.
I'm Matt. I am a local non-Knicks fan, despite what these guys will tell you.
You got us, boys. I don't know how to make fun of him anymore.
And that's it.
All right,
I mean, what are you going to say? I don't feel bad about getting the third pick, and neither should you. It was inevitable. So,
okay.
Thanks for having me.
It was inevitable.
I hope the podcast goes well.
It certainly was. That's a great segue, Matt. You are a podcast veteran. I'm hijacking the Enlightenment Take segment today because I need to prove that I'm not owned. We have a tweet here about the NBA draft lottery that under the old lottery system, in which three teams were chosen for the top three picks and the worst record had the highest odds and so on, the first overall pick would have gone to the Atlanta Hawks, which means I was right all along from last week.
Very
first
proud
pick
of you.
Would have gone to the Hawks.
We need some cheers.
The second, thank you. Thank you so much. The second pick would have gone to the Wizards.
Didn't need to hear that.
And the third pick would have still gone to the New York Knicks. So this is a reality I would have thoroughly enjoyed.
Woo! Who can relate, you know?
I mean, that's just called destiny.
It's true. I spoke it into existence. It would have happened just a year late. So I'm not owned, and now you are all enlightened by that.
Well,
you're welcome.
I have something for you, Joe.
Ah, I'm basking in it. Oh,
and that's all
beautiful.
That's all you get for free. Before we get into the news, I wanna start with a tweet from at Sat Masso, which would be
Are
Matt.
You sure?
You can follow him or don't. He tweeted in 2016, Jimmer Fredette is the NBA Tim Tebow.
I stand by that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you still believe that.
Well,
go on.
I don't know if Tim Tebow can go internationally and dominate football or baseball the way that Jimmer did and then come back and get a contract. So he might actually be quite more talented than Tim is.
So maybe Tim Tebow's the NFL's Jimmer Fredette.
He's not good enough. I mean, he can't even get past the Mets like double ice system. That's not exactly a
nice.
Great measure of talent there. He'll have the best farm system. Talking baseball, even though you didn't want me to. Gotcha, boys.
He explicitly said, it's fine. It was tangentially related.
You can
Nothing
go ahead and He already brought up the non-horse bit.
that's all-encompassing in life.
Apologies to Matt baseball players for injuring themselves falling off of non-horses.
Whomst hasn't hurt themselves on a non-horse? Can any of you say that?
All of
You've
my
never
injuries
gotten hurt on a non.
Yeah, I think most of my injuries
Thank
have
you.
Been non-horse. if not all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
It's relatable. It's a relatable injury, and that's why we can respect it.
Who can relate? We can. We all can.
Yep.
Last logic joke. I just found out about that line 2 days ago from Will, so it's...
Yes, much like Joe is a year late on the lottery, Matt is like 2.5 years late on hearing that terrible logic song about the suicide hotline, so...
You should aspire to be me. That's like great, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm jealous.
I didn't have to hear
it. Yeah. No, yeah. It's... That's like kind of a blessing.
Except now you did hear about it, and...
Delayed curse.
That sucks.
That's what I get for following you.
Who can relate?
Woo!
All right. Should we get into some news, perhaps?
Yes.
What are we thinking about right now? We got Warriors. They won.
They did. Although Damian Lillard said they barely got him.
Right.
Dame had a strong take in a series where his team got swept by the Warriors, who by the end of the series were missing Boogie Cousins, Kevin Durant, and Andre Iguodala. Dame said, if we had Yusuf Nurkic, we would have won.
I mean, your backup center put 25 up in the first half.
Nurkic is the fourth best player out of the four players we mentioned as being out of the series.
Right.
Yep. That's true. Nurkic would have made a difference, but not so much so that they would have like won the series. They might have avoided one of those comebacks from the Warriors, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, Leonard filled in great in game four. Enes Kanter was doing fine. Zach Collins was, you know, being Zach Collins.
What does
that entail?
According to Jeff Van Gundy, being more competitive than everyone else on the floor, and that's why he got minutes.
And that's
him a competitor, which is like the nice way of saying this guy sucks at basketball, but he's trying.
Yeah,
it's like when you're watching a fight. If the best thing they're saying about a guy is how tough he is, it's a very bad thing for him in that fight.
This guy can really take a beating.
Exactly. That was Zach Collins out there. Wow, he's still trying is not a good thing he said about you in the Western Conference Finals.
I remember on my 8th grade basketball team, there was a player like this who was trying really hard when he was in the game, but he was pretty terrible at basketball. And he would come out of the game, and the coach would say, great energy out there. And then he would ride the bench the rest of the game.
Hey, excuse me, that player was you.
That's
that player grew up to be Michael Jordan.
Can you believe it?
So, I wanted to shout out Dame not even waiting a day before he started rationalizing that sweep. But you shouldn't have to rationalize it. The Warriors are just that good. Steph Curry and Draymond Green were superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling someone, watching Draymond get the rebound or take the inbounds pass and sprint up the court at full speed on every possession was unbelievably fun. I forgot like how much I missed watching Draymond Green try. Because we used to get that in the regular season, and for obvious reasons and very well earned reasons, he doesn't do that anymore. But it just puts so much stress on the Blazers. And Mark Jackson was sitting there the whole time going like, the Blazers stink at defense. Why are the Warriors getting layups? And he's like, man, no one else in the league has that Draymond to take that sprint up the court, be the best passer on the team, and run the offense from their power forward. Occasionally their center if they go real small. I mean, so
Draymond has the most assists in playoffs right now.
Kevin Knox.
Just wait.
I thought Kevin Knox was going to become Kevin Durant.
I think Giannis might be the closest to that, like, power forward running the offense kind of model, but Draymond definitely does it better when he's like trying.
And the thing that gets me about, I mean, Giannis is incredible and miles ahead of even Draymond, who's first balloter. But the thing that gets me is him on his own team.
Right. Doing I think that's
Steph Curry on the floor.
Yes, definitely. Like, Giannis probably has the better skill set, but like, the next best guy is light years below him, whereas Draymond has a guy probably light years ahead of him as far as like who he's passing to.
Like, I mean, well, if Giannis is doing it, you go build a wall.
Yep.
Get all your players in there and just keep him from getting to the hoop. When Draymond's doing it, they've got three players on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, even with Kevin Durant hurt. So Draymond's getting one-on-one at the basket every time, and he's so skilled that as soon as you're doubling someone else, he's dumping it off to Kevin Looney, to Jordan Bell, and everyone, Alphonso McKinney, and everyone's getting easy layups.
Yep.
It was shocking seeing how often he made the right play. He is so ridiculously good at basketball, and he was a blast to watch in that series.
Also, his like on-court coaching
was
really good.
Also, he's been in, like, for as temperamental as he is with the refs in the regular season now, he's been very reasonable the whole playoff. Like, he's not getting into it with the refs the same way. He'll yell at him, but he moves on a lot more than he would before. He knows it's serious. He dropped his 20 pounds, and he's here to play.
Who did he credit for helping him behave, as he put it? I just saw an article about that.
That was his mom and his fiance.
Okay, was it?
Well, he had mentioned them in a recent post-game conference, where he said that they were telling him, like, dog, you gotta calm down, like, you gotta just play the game. And then also he said that he kept seeing his son flop around the house. He was like, oh no.
His son was bumping into him in the hallway and trying to flop off.
Like, that's amazing.
He's like, okay.
I'm just being like you, Dad. Oh, okay.
Man, I will say, though, watching that series, I was thinking a lot about the Warriors better try a lot harder in the first half when they play the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Because going down 17 points to the Bucks every game is not going to go the same as going down 17 to the Blazers. And that might come back to haunt me terribly because the Warriors are the Warriors. But they better take them serious. I think they know there are teams you can fuck around with and teams you can take serious, but they better take Giannis and company for real.
Shouts out to Richard Jefferson over the last three games for tweeting, the Trailblazers are up 17 and I'm still 50-50 on if they still win this game. For each game, he tweeted that.
That was awesome. I mean, at no point did I think the Trailblazers were going to win any of those three games.
I was a little bit nervous in the last game.
For how well the Blazers played in game four, like, Warriors were down four, and both teams shot like 60% in the first half. So it was like, oh, it's just a matter of time.
Draymond's quote after game four was so ridiculous, and it was so ridiculous because it was true. But just when he said that, we know we can cover 17 points in 3 or 4 minutes. Being able to say that honestly is like so ridiculous that this team can casually take on that. Sure, we're down 17, but it'll take us 3 or 4 minutes to get that all back. That's just absurd.
That's why they lost 2 years ago. I mean, that mentality, though. That's why they lost. Nothing to do with LeBron.
At some point, and I'm worried about it with the Bucks, but the Blazers are not the team to do it.
Have the Warriors, quote unquote, flipped the switch? Have they turned it on? Are they unbeatable at this point?
I think
the way they're playing.
I don't think they're unbeatable, but I think to a certain point they flipped a switch because, like, KD being out has kind of forced that switch on. Because this is, like, a desperation switch.
Sure.
It's
the team of old, really. I mean, it's the team that got them their first championship now.
It feels like a switch has been flipped, but, like, not necessarily all of them. Like, even with KD out, there's no way to, like, say that they took that Blazer series totally seriously. Meanwhile, at the same time, though, Steph and Draymond are playing nuclear basketball, and incredible, but, like, they've come out flat a lot. They're not coming out, like, ready to go 100%, in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to say, like, if they totally flipped the switch. When was that, game two or three, where Damian Jones started after not playing since the second month of the season?
Yeah it was game three.
Jacob Evans is getting serious minutes.
Right.
Like, and some of that's Steve Kerr. He just loves to do that crap. But they're still and I think they admitted it in a lot of their like, what was it, Kerr after game two or three? They're like, oh, we stole that one. It's not how you talk when you, like, tried the whole game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Definitely don't think they're unbeatable, but they're still worried.
No matter if the Bucks or the Raptors wins the Eastern Conference, either of those teams have home court advantage over the Warriors. So that's an interesting wrinkle. I don't know. The Bucks were the best road team in the NBA in the regular season.
The Bucks were the best team in the NBA in the regular season, just straight up.
True.
So the Warriors will have a tough one. I'm curious, though. I saw a take, not necessarily hot by any means, but I'd be curious to get y'all three's opinion on it, where I believe it came from Michael Lee. He said that in his eyes, straight up, the MVP of the playoffs has been Kawhi Leonard. And while Kawhi is definitely deserving, I wasn't dead certain he's who I'd pick. So did y'all have any opinions on who the MVP of these playoffs has been?
I think Leonard's right. I mean, he just scored 25 and a half.
Right.
Last
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
he almost saved playoffs.
He's going toe-to-toe with Steph Curry, and he's in both conference finals.
Right.
I think through the first two rounds, you could put Damian Lillard in there. You could put Giannis in there. You could put definitely Kawhi in there. I mean, Steph and Draymond have been playing great. So there's a lot of guys. I think, just performance-wise and, like, when a guy has a big – like, Kawhi's – the Raptors would be long gone without Kawhi playing like he's playing. Like, Philly would have beaten them for sure if Kawhi didn't go off almost every game. So
absolutely. And, I mean, at that point, like – I've been kind of going back and forth. Like you said, he's obviously deserving. And before Kevin Durant went down, this was really like the Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Kawhi playoffs. Great as he's been, I don't think he's been better than Giannis has over the course of the playoffs. And I think, like, when talking about, like, most valuable, the Bucks have done surprisingly well when Giannis is off the court, but their entire team is just built around him. So it's always hard for me to say there's anyone who's that much more valuable than he is when he's playing this well. So I think I was probably leaning a little towards Giannis. I was really thinking about Steph and honestly Dre some as well too. I thought Dre was the MVP of the Western Conference Finals. And as far as Dame goes, I just thought he gassed. He's been playing great ball playoffs, but I thought in the conference finals the load just got too much and he gassed out, which there's no shame in. But
and he's hurt.
I wonder about Kawhi now too, because he came up limping several times in game three.
I mean, everybody's hurt now. Like, there's not a healthy guy out there.
Well, Raptors only play 7 or 8 guys. Like, if Norman Powell wouldn't have dropped 20 or 19, whatever he had in game three, they wouldn't have even gone to overtime. Not even
game
close.
Game three is a hilarious box score to look at because it doesn't look like anyone played well.
It was probably the worst playoff game this year for the Bucks that I've watched most of them, but it was really bad. The Bucks played pretty Giannis had a lot of rebounds, not a lot of points, and a lot of turnovers. And Middleton was bad. Bledsoe was bad. A couple other guys were okay. But it was still like double overtime. We almost still won. And I thought Kawhi played great. And Lowry played great while hurt. Gasol was better. Like, I thought the Raptors played a lot better. And they still barely pulled it off.
Yeah, I thought that was. I've seen a lot of like the Bucks doing that, like Bucks fans going with the we played like shit and almost won, and then it was like, well, game one the Raptors players all shot like shit and they almost won. So it's the name of the game to an extent. These are all going to be close, but I do think the Raptors. I saw it. There was a really good article today on I think Jared Dubin put it out about how the Raptors just can't score against the Bucks. They can't score well enough right now, and unless they figure that out, they're going to lose the series.
Well, when does – is OG not coming back?
It doesn't seem like it at this point. I haven't seen him ruled out, but, man, they're not really talking about him like he's about to come in.
I feel like they're missing him. Like, more than one would expect.
Although, I think the bigger problem's been offense and the way he played this year. That is not where he would help out. I'd like to have him to like throw at Giannis as another body or something like that, but throw at a lot of guys, throw him at on defense. But I'm not sure. He had a rough sophomore season.
My sweet son.
He's definitely not better than he's hurt by any means, but ugh.
I'm looking at the box score right now and Giannis had 12 points and 23 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 blocks, and he went +3.
Oh, I saw. Wait, there's a great tweet. about how with that stat line, where they're like, there's only ever been one other player who has matched or exceeded that stat line in an NBA playoff game. And it was Bill Walton, but Bill Walton like actually had a dominant game when he did it. It was like 36 points, 24 rebounds, 8 blocks. And I was like, I don't feel like we should be comparing these two games.
Should we, I mean, this is a good way to segue into a next bit. We want to talk about Bill Walton comparisons.
Yes. Jeff Van Gundy said that Myers-Leonard was playing like Bill Walton when he was making threes. Is that what we want to talk about?
Yeah.
Or am I leading wrong bit?
No, we're good. That's exactly it.
Myers-Leonard went 5 of 6 from three in the first half, and Jeff Van Gundy thought, that's my guy Bill Walton out there.
No.
I mean, when you think of sidestep three-point shots, you think Bill Walton. He's got the shuffle down, so, and the shot.
Did Bill Walton have inner bicep tattoos also?
In script?
In script?
Yeah.
Cursive script?
Would you put it past him if he got them recently, though, knowing how Bill Walton is now?
I know one of them says blessed. What's the other one say? Is it like favored or?
Blessed. Forever? Blessed is on the right arm. Yes.
Oh, is it forever?
Forever blessed, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Come on.
He truly is.
And it's in like the most, oh man.
It's basic.
Terrible. Very basic white boy tat.
It's like a very specific brand of white boy too. He's like the Matty B. Raps of the NBA.
Oh no. Oh no.
But congrats to him for dueling with Steph Curry in a playoff game.
He set a new career high in the first half alone.
And he made Jeff Van Gundy uncontrollably horny.
Oh, that's also true.
That was the horniest game of playoffs.
At one point, for those who did not watch that game, or for those who did not unmute it at just the wrong time like I did, Myers-Leonard hit a step back three, and Mike Breen did not give him his signature bang call. So Jeff Van Gundy tried to convince Mike Breen to make the call. And when he didn't give it after that step back three, Jeff Van Gundy said something along the lines of, if you're not going to give him the bang now, when are you going to bang him? Which, Jeff, do whatever you want, but the NBA broadcast is not the time for that. Never should you spend your time as an announcer trying to convince Mike Breen to bang Myers-Leonard.
I would disagree. I think if not now, then it's never. This is the one opportunity for the bang to happen.
I was so certain that after that, I mean, like you said, you know, he was real popular after that game. And so I was so certain after that game, he went out, hooked up with someone and just didn't satisfy them at all and was done in a minute and a half.
So was,
he probably
or was
had a good
not?
First half and then couldn't finish the rest.
Yeah, there it is.
Was or was it not Myers-Leonard time?
Okay. It was. It was Myers-Leonard time, unfortunately.
Standard MLT. It was 8 p.m. MLT.
Is the NBA the horniest league?
Well, they don't have a position called tight end.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say the NFL. A lot of talk of penetration, exploiting the D.
Deeper penetration, too.
Yeah.
Linebackers get deep penetration. Linemen can. The NBA sticks to kind of shallow penetration.
Slot receiver, muffed punt.
The NBA
it's not good lingo in the NFL.
The NBA does have the Splash Brothers, though.
Right.
And the Splash Mountain, lest we forget.
They got people splashing.
So
splash
the NBA, Splash Brothers, so is the NBA the most incestual league?
Yeah, because they also have Game of Zones, so they're locked into that one. Who is? Oh man, let's get real, normie. Who is the John Snow of the NBA?
I was gonna say if we segue into Game of Thrones talk, this is the end of the podcast.
I watch even less Game of Thrones than I watch NBA basketball.
Amen.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Now we're those guys.
That makes three of us, Matt. Now,
I've seen the last season.
There you go.
Wow. Okay, jumping in at the end. I love it.
My girlfriend.
That might
now
be.
Instead of being normies, we're a sports ball guys, but for Game of Thrones.
Is there a throne game on?
Oh, Game of Thrones?
Your little dragon show?
The royal baby?
Matt said, yeah, I'll check it out when the playoffs come on.
I don't control the TV always, all right?
Okay, sure.
Breaking gender stereotypes. Respect.
Well, they break me, I'd say.
What else is in the news? What else we got?
The Lakers can't get out of the news.
Oh, yeah.
Is this an Eric Andre bit? What's happening here?
The Lakers are in the
Magic
news.
Johnson's in the news.
Magic Johnson's. Did you guys hear about this? Magic Johnson? He's in the
news.
Magic Johnson went on First Take yesterday, right? Yesterday morning?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm not aware of this. Okay, fill me in.
He discussed that Rob Pelinka was backstabbing him.
You don't say.
Oh, he said it.
How so?
Talking behind his back. He said that Pelinka was going to other people around work and saying, like, I don't think he's doing a good job. He even discussed it with Magic's friends that are outside of basketball, that he didn't think Magic's doing a good job. And they're like, hey, you know, this man's saying things about you. And
sounds like Rob Pelinka and Jason Kidd are kindred spirits.
And so
match made in heaven.
So he talked about that on First Take, and then of course Stephen A. Smith has lots of things to say about the Lakers, which are fair. They're a mess. So then Rob Pelinka, during a press conference that seemed to be introducing Frank Vogel, was asked about these allegations. And he said that, quotes, disheartening and simply not true.
Wow.
They had talked just 2 days ago. While he's saying this, Frank Vogel has the face of Larry David at the end of just about every Curb episode.
So that's where that video came from. I saw that 30 seconds completely out of context, and I just assumed it was just general Laker bullshit driving Frank Vogel crazy.
Frank Vogel realizing what he had just done.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm really impressed by the multi-faceted press conference. They're like, we need to address a huge controversy and also introduce our new head coach.
I like that Rob Pelinka says simply not true when, like, we already know that he was emailing Jeannie Buss about Magic talking shit and CC'd him in that. So
Magic, don't read this. Jeannie, Magic sucks.
Never email someone's wife. Well, all right. That was problematic, but respect.
For my experience of this quote-unquote scandal on Twitter, the biggest losers to me have been everyone who's taking it seriously. Because I had to see tweets over the past day of people saying, like, wow, no one is coming out of this looking good. Really ugly for Pelinka and Magic. And I was like, nobody cares. What? Nobody looks bad because this doesn't matter at all.
This changes nothing for the Lakers.
These are just like two rich assholes who don't like each other in Los Angeles. That's basically that entire city.
Politics.
If I may read a different Magic quote, though.
Okay.
I thought this one really stirred up some drama. This is from 2 hours ago when Magic said, getting my skinny pop popcorn ready for Milwaukee versus Toronto. I think I'm going to go with sea salt and pepper.
This is why Magic quit being employed by the Lakers.
This is where we cross the line. Magic, this is it.
That's a branded tweet. That's an ad tweet for skinny pop.
Can you imagine the fine?
That sweet skinny pop money while employed by the Lakers.
Imagine the fine he would have gotten had he tweeted that while still working for the Lakers.
Tampering. Skinny is clearly referring to Kevin Durant. Sea salt and pepper. He's looking for an iconic duo of players, one white, one black in the league.
No, if you want to hear...
Who would that be?
You want to hear a crazy...
While I was talking and there's just nobody that worked.
We want to hear a crazy opinion from Magic, where he tweeted 2 days ago. With Steph Curry's 36 points, Draymond Green's 2013-12 triple-double, and Klay Thompson's incredible defense, the Warriors' three superstars led them to another win in the series. In case you didn't know, there was a game.
The one reply I saw to that tweet was like, not a single exclamation point. This man is just like writing an article about the game.
So it said, thanks for clarifying.
I've got a similar one from Magic that was just incredible. It said, the Warriors would not be a dynasty without Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, and Kevin Durant. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was the Wall Street Journal who tweeted that.
Well,
subscribe. Support real journalism, you know? Shout out. Shout out to the company I work for. And read local, please. Thank you.
Wall Street Journal, come on the podcast to discuss why.
I don't work for the Wall Street Journal, FYI.
I mean, they're not wrong.
What if, oh yeah? What if we replaced those guys with LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Chris Paul, and James Harden?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Mm-mm.
With Chris Paul on the team, there's no way they're winning anything.
Yeah. I refuse.
They would have just lost to the five players they named on the Warriors when they were on a different team, say. What could have happened in history around, like, Steph Curry launching a dynasty? Oh, if he fell one more pick to the Knicks, like, where his dad wanted to go, that could have done it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
You've been thinking Timberwolves needed Johnny Flynn, right, to be they took Johnny Flynn right before Steph Curry, so.
Wait, I'm sorry. Let's not forget all of our history here. The reason that the Timberwolves were able to take Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio before Steph Curry is because the Washington Wizards traded the number 5 overall pick in that draft, where Steph went 7th, for 1 year of Mike Miller and Randy Foy.
Okay, but how good was that year, though?
Just imagine.
Mike Miller won Rookie of the Year, dude. Like, calm down. It's not
imagine
that bad.
Imagine that in the current NBA. Someone trading the 5th overall pick for 2 vets who aren't that good.
Well, we can talk about that Nets trade.
I would just assume that's what the Lakers are about to do with the 4th overall pick.
I was going to say the same thing. The Knicks or the Lakers are about to do that in less than a month.
They're going to grab Jan Mahimi and...
Oh, God.
Trevor Ariza. That seems right. Except he's a free agent. But fuck it.
Sam Decker. It'll be Sam Decker.
He's got
such potential.
That's the sea salt and pepper, Sam Decker and Jan Mahimi.
There it is.
The cherry on top will be Terrence Ross. I can't wait for the Lakers to be exactly the same next season.
Oh man, they think they're getting somebody and they are so not.
They're like shooters that they're gonna get is like Seth Curry and no one else. Seth Curry's probably not even a free agent next year. It's going to be like Marco Bellinelli and no one else.
Ooh, critical blow to the Spurs. That happens.
That's like the last piece of the Spurs dynasty right there, right? He's the last one hanging on.
But he came back. He went to 3 other teams before he came back to the Spurs.
He honestly is too good at shooting for the Lakers.
I'm being sarcastic. He might be. Why don't they just keep signing guys that have had historic problems with LeBron, like in every game they've ever played against each other? That seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
So, Matt, how are you feeling about that number 3 overall pick? I know you said it's inevitable. It looks pretty inevitable that it's going to become RJ Barrett. Are you ready for the RJ era in New York?
Yeah, I know. You guys hate RJ Barrett, or at least Will does. I'm willing to let him score 15 a game for the rest of his career on the Knicks and be fine with that.
I've you know. Transition to pretty reasonable, I think, takes about RJ. I believe that if RJ does not believe that he is a superstar, if he's willing to be like the number 2 guy on a team, I think it could be a very good career. He's definitely very good at a lot of things. And I've been reading a lot of guys recently who are saying that they care a lot more about how he played in high school than how he played at Duke because he got a lot more tunnel vision-y at Duke. And if he actually goes back to actively passing, which he has the ability to do, and just shot gets a little bit better, which it absolutely can, then he could be a number 2 guy on an excellent team, I think. I don't know. I don't know how to project guys.
A lot of ifs.
So I should probably just give up.
I think he'll be a solid backup for Kevin Knox.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be the Pippin to Kevin Knox's BJ Armstrong.
The last Duke guy who I was certain like his mindset was going to hurt him in the NBA was Jason Tatum. And then he came in and completely changed it and had an awesome first year. And I was like, oh, I was just wrong because now he plays differently than how he did at Duke. And then in his second year, he completely reverted to how he played at Duke and wasn't as good. So I don't –
Can we
I give up.
Pin that and go back to it? Because I do need to know what happened to Jason Tatum because I was all on board on him, obviously, after year one. But the Knicks draft, you know, it went better than I expected, honestly. And I thought the whole draft lottery night was wild and funny. So I was like too losing my mind over the Lakers not getting the 10th pick like they had a 77% chance to and jumping into the top four and then the Pelicans getting one. That was way more wild to me than anything around the Knicks. So it kind of like diverted my emotional rage. So that was good.
Yeah, honestly, my team dropped three spots into a really bad area, and it was still pretty fun. The only thing that was annoying was all of the people going, "Oh my god, there was a 1 in 4,000% chance of things turning out the way they did, and it screwed my team." I'm like, "Yeah, it the way the lottery is set up, every specific scenario is unlikely. That's the whole point. There's a lot of scenarios.
Right. That's why it's wild.
People see a 4% chance, they're like." No, that's actually impossible. If
like,
that happens,
it's actually
it's rigged.
96% this doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. The Knicks ones were funny where it was like, I can't believe we didn't get the first pick. And it's like, there was an 86% chance you didn't get.
Yeah. Right.
The Wizards fans have been dying because there was like a 1% chance or like a 2% chance we fell to the 9th pick. And they're like, this is unbelievable. Classic. I was like, most specific pick slots, there was a very small chance of us getting that slot. You get that, right? We had
eight
different picks we could have gotten. They were all pretty low odds.
Y'all watched those Stephen A. Smith videos of him reacting that night and the next morning?
Yes, they were so good.
They were amazing. But like, there are people that actually think that, you know, he goes, this is the Knicks. I knew they'd let us down. Like they chose to pick third. They had everything lined up. The Zion, the king of New York's coming, blah, blah, blah. And they let us down again. Well, maybe you should talk to them and tell them pick first instead next year.
The best part of that was when he started mentioning that he could see Pablo Torre laughing at him in the hallway, which is like, I hate you, Pablo. He was like, I walked into work, I saw Bomani Jones. I love Bomani Jones. I didn't want to talk to him today. I see Pablo Torre in the hallway. Bit. He's laughing at me. He's a piece of crap.
My godson is here and I don't even want to talk to him or look at him. That was the best part.
So good. Just what a delight he is.
What about, so I've seen a couple takes about, so obviously before the draft, the whole talk was, will the Knicks trade the number one pick to get Anthony Davis?
Yes.
Then the Pelicans got the first pick anyway.
They did trade it for Anthony Davis, just they forgot to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Before the lottery, and it didn't work.
But I've seen takes that the Knicks could still try and trade the number three pick to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. Then the Pelicans could get Zion and RJ Barrett playing together from their rookie years on.
Did you take my take?
Are you saw it on Instagram, but I was wondering how you felt about that.
I'm a full delusional believer that that's what's happening. Like the only way they're going to get Zion to stay long term is to have a friend on the team with them. And that's the only way it's going to happen. The Knicks have leverage over the Lakers now. Also, they always did because over
but the
my
Lakers
dead body,
have the fourth pick now. The Lakers
right, but over
could
my
trade
dead
that
body.
Well.
I trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. So.
I forgot.
He didn't say that about the Knicks.
I forgot you were quoting the owner for a second. I thought you were just declaring.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Matt's the new GM of the Pelicans. Awesome. Congrats.
Well, if it's about RJ Barrett, he'll be gone unless the Knicks are really dumb, which they are. But, like, the Knicks are ahead of the Lakers, so they can just do it. Get it done. Just him, Frank. I don't know.
What I've seen like, the third pick and Kevin Knox. How would you feel
trade
about
the third
that,
pick
honestly?
Trade the third pick and Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox. And my favorite player in the Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, for Anthony Davis.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's quite the package
deal.
Are
you kidding me?
You're here first.
They're planning on signing, if their plan is to get big names, like, get Anthony Davis there and then sign whoever you think you can sign. Like, Kevin Knox isn't part of the plan anymore.
Also, the Knicks, like, prospects aren't that good. It's not a big deal to give up a lot of them.
Right.
You gave them up when you took them.
Is there any player on the Knicks that you're like, don't trade this guy for whatever reason, whether it's rational or irrational? Yeah.
I mean, even
if it's like a bottom of the bench guy that you love for no reason.
I've loved Mitchell Robinson since he first worked out with the Knicks before they signed him. Like, that was my guy. So that would be tough, but, you know.
Second Anthony team Davis. All rookie.
I mean, I think
that's going to be a monster.
Outside of the number three pick, like, Mitch Rob is easily the best asset the Knicks have.
Yeah, he's going to be a monster.
Like, if they're not getting Anthony Davis, they need to keep him no matter what. But
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, how do you feel about his
block rate is so good.
It's historic. How do you feel about Frankie Smokes demanding a trade?
I mean, you know, go for it. I have no feelings for Frank anymore.
I imagine that's how, like, Rockets fans felt when Marquise Chris demanded a trade. You're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, you're still on here. Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind they'll get rid of him and he'll become, I don't know, Jason Kidd. But it's the risk. It's fine.
People love guys who were drafted high. I was watching people discuss, what would you trade for Frank Ntilikina? And the first person was like, a late first. I was like, why? What on earth has he done to be worth a late first round pick?
He's young.
He was a high first round pick three years ago. That's what he did.
I think he has flashed on defense some, but he has done the opposite of flash his entire time on offense. And so I'd send out maybe a late second and take a flyer on him because he's young, but I'm not giving up anything of value here.
Well, it's not a value because it will be a Knicks
pick. I understand that. I'm not giving up something that would be of value to a competent franchise.
I see. You don't say that to me anymore.
Do you? So let's say the Knicks trade for Anthony Davis. Which upcoming free agent would you want to pair with him most? I assume you'd get one more guy, but maybe let's just say one guy. There's one. You know, there's Kyrie. There's Kevin Durant. There's Klay Thompson. Jimmy Butler. Any of them. Who would you want most?
It's always Kevin Durant. Like, it doesn't matter who you're pairing with Kevin Durant. It's Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Right.
I think so.
Would you give any thought to Kawhi?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. But
I mean,
why not all three?
Wow. Okay. All right. Now we're talking.
If you were smart, you'd sign everyone that Joe mentioned.
Yeah.
Why don't the Knicks just sign everyone?
Give me the top 10 free agents.
25,000 retweets, 30,000 likes.
Sign them to 1-year prove it deals.
Ooh.
Wasn't there a bit of news today that the Bulls are thinking about trying to get Jimmy Butler back in free agency?
Yeah. He wants to save the Bulls.
Oh my God. Joe, wasn't it you who said that Boylan, like, really is the perfect Jimmy Butler coach?
I did not say that, but I think I agree with that.
I agree.
Was it Matt who said that? Somebody said that.
No, I saw that somewhere too.
They were right. It was in a chat that features all of us, but I swore it was when you guys. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's correct.
That's like, more interesting.
Mr. Do a bunch of push ups in Oklahoma drills is the perfect coach for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Who's just constantly mad that people aren't performatively working harder.
He's going to have Jimmy just standing next to him, blowing the whistle at guys who aren't trying hard enough.
In a crop top. That's
right,
key.
Right.
Oh, hell yeah. Like,
that's a good look, though.
Jimmy's an annoying coworker, but he's still really hot. So.
True. That's problematic.
True.
Will, I need to call your HR department.
We are the HR department.
Oh, God. And we're all canceled. I think be a solid time with all this Knicks talk to get into a little retro take action if you guys are ready.
Okay.
Ooh.
Let's go.
The retro take.
So if you can handle it.
I'm gonna fuck it up. I can be sure of that. And I'm starting off by, I don't even have one retro take. I have two mini retro takes.
Okay. All right.
Just
bold move. It's a really bold move. That's all I'm saying.
and one that's a look back at history that I think is worth it. So the first one, really, we're here for the answer. The question's not all that unreasonable. But I was going through a classic Joe process, just trying Knicks and lottery and draft and third pick in Yahoo Answers. And this guy said where are we? We're back in 2008, I believe, hoping the Knicks don't get any lower than the third pick in the draft after the lottery. Who should they pick? And he says, I think it's one of three players. Derrick Rose, the point, Memphis. Michael Beasley, the 3-4, K-State. Or they reach with Brook Lopez, center out of Stanford. I don't think the Knicks need O.J. Mayo and his issues. We've suffered long enough with Stephen Marbury to bring O.J. Mayo in here.
Pretty insightful. Pretty insightful.
Okay. So far. Yeah, you can't knock the Michael Beasley thing because he was legit that good in college.
Yep.
It's all pretty good takes. But I did want to highlight someone down below. This is not the best answer by any means, but it is by far my favorite answer. This comes from an anonymous user a whole decade ago. They said probably Rose, since Beasley will go first. That's wrong, but who cares? This is the part that matters. He only has one more sentence to his answer. I wish Knicks can move to Bay Area so I don't have to watch the suck-ass Warriors choke over and over again.
Oh, man. His wish.
Man, did he have a bad last 10 years.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
So you're telling me all franchises have hope?
No, absolutely not. I would never say that. If you think I believe that all franchises have hope, I don't know, son. This guy just has some weird vendettas because his source is Baron Davis sucks.
He's got something against Laura Dern, at least.
So I just enjoyed that because, man, he could. I choose to believe he caused the Warriors and Knicks to have the last 10 years that they had.
I feel like the more hope you have for a team, the worse it is for you and the team.
Yeah. Man, if only that's we could replace the Warriors with the Knicks in the Bay Area for all those fans. But then we're going to take a little look back at history because I thought, hey, they've got the number three pick. Who are the number three picks that the Knicks have had in the past? Have they ever had it? And they've not had the number three pick in the lottery era, but they have had it five times before that. And out of those five guys, not a lot of big names, shall we say. In 58, they drafted Mike Farmer, which is a fake name that Joe would use.
absolutely is.
In 1960, they drafted Daryl Imhoff, who we're going to swing back to. 1965.
He's good, I think.
They drafted Dave Stallworth, who I can only assume is Dante Stallworth's father.
Absolutely.
1967, they drafted Bill Hoskett out of Ohio State.
Another one of my fake names, man.
In 1979, they drafted Bill Cartwright, who is the player whose name I knew on this list.
Yes.
I was looking through them. I said, dang, how good were any of these guys? Like, I haven't heard of like four of them, but maybe one of them was pretty good. I start off by looking up Daryl Imhoff out of California. And I got to say, I think the Knicks will be pretty lucky to draft a Daryl Imhoff this year. Because when I looked him up, the first thing that came up was he was the guy who guarded Wilt when Wilt scored 100 points.
Oh no. He was not pretty good. I retract my statement.
So early congrats to Matt. They will draft RJ Barrett, and then RJ Barrett will guard a guy who scores 100 points.
Alright. Who's the guy? What's everyone's bet?
Kevin Durant on the Nets.
Myers Leonard.
Kevin Durant on the Brooklyn Nets is the correct answer.
Fuck both of you. I don't want to hear that ever again.
For the record, in that draft where he said we cannot drop below three, they ended up dropping to six and drafting Danilo Gallinari out of Italy, who
solid
went on to be very good in a lot of other places.
They traded him for Melo. Yep. That worked out.
OJ Mayo did go third overall.
I thought OJ Mayo was just shorter Kevin Durant, but I was also like a teenager, so.
And I thought OJ Mayo was.
He had his troubles.
And bought his jersey a couple months ago, so I'm ready for the comeback.
It's almost time.
It's because it says Mayo on the back and you're white.
Yep, I'm a Mayo boy.
It's a Bucks Cream City Edition jersey too, so
that's
full whiteness.
What city?
That's
Cream City. That is the Bucks.
Cream City.
That is the Bucks, or that's Milwaukee's nickname.
Are y'all saying Kareem City? Because back in my day, it was called Cinder Town.
Oh.
Wow.
That's all I got for the retro tape, boys.
Beautiful. You know, well done.
Speaking of OJ Mayo, we've had a dismissal from the league this week.
We have.
Yes.
Tyreek Evans.
I will be buying a Tyreek Evans jersey at the earliest opportunity. And then as Adam, father of the show, Adam Davis said, getting immediately canceled when it turns out he was like selling heroin to elementary schoolers or something.
Right, but we don't know going, any of this.
You going Kings, you going Grizzlies, you going Pacers?
I'm going Kings.
It's got to be Kings, I think.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year edition.
Didn't he briefly spend some time? He was definitely in New Orleans for a bit too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
There Last are a year. Lot of great Tyreek Evans. The only one I'm certain I'm not doing is the Pacers, but probably Kings.
Yeah, I like the Pacers jerseys, but it's not representative of Tyreek Evans, I feel like.
Yeah.
He didn't do well in his one year there.
Horrible year.
Kings or Grizzlies, I would go.
Yeah.
I like both of those.
So he can appeal, right, in 2 years to come back?
Yeah, it's just basically like reapply. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this? I mean, it's a potential permanent ban for a first offense. I mean, we don't know what the offense fully is, other than it's some type of drug abuse thing. So it's not weed, but it's like
it's a more serious.
Yeah, it could be anything from like coke to LSD to opioids.
It always just seems a bit silly to like. Unless it's legit, like Adam made a joke about and he was selling.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird to me just like to suspend guys for this. Like they're just doing it to themselves. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, like I know the league has said before, like, you know, it's a worry about being like influential to the kids, but like the kids didn't know. They didn't know till you suspended them or till you dismissed them. Like he did this in his private time over summer. Like
no kids are influenced by Tyreek Evans.
No one's out in the club with Tyreek. No kids are, at least.
Like, kids are influenced by Steph Curry and LeBron James. Every other NBA player could do fuck all, and they wouldn't care.
Like, the first thing they're going to hear about a player doing drugs now is when the league dismisses them for doing drugs.
Also, it just seems weird to me. He must have been wilding out, because NBA players definitely do a lot of drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
Like, there's no way that Chandler Parsons hasn't done a shit ton of cocaine.
Okay.
And it went straight through his knees and they exploded.
If it was PEDs or something, they'd say that, right?
Yeah. They would say. That's just a suspension.
That's the anti-doping policy, not like a drug abuse issue.
I don't know. It's so weird because, first of all, like it's a first offense. And while we don't know what it is, like it still seems pretty harsh to just dismiss him for doing something in his own time that's really only hurting him as far as we know. And I don't know. It seems like such an outdated rule and issue.
I think Outkast said it best when on Gasoline Dreams, they said, on a first offense, drug bust, fuck the holies.
Okay. True.
It's just, in this case, the holies are the NBA.
I mean...
You sound old.
Thank you.
I mean, what you're doing is, instead of finding out that this individual may have an issue... You are taking away his pay from him, kicking him out the league, and not doing anything for helping him at all, other than announcing to the league that he does drugs, or announcing to the world publicly that he may have a problem. And
not great for the progressive league.
No, not at all.
Yeah. that's supposed to be the most progressive.
It would be awesome if Tyreek went and averaged 85 points a game in China for the next 2 years.
I would love that.
Can he go to a different league like that?
I don't see any reason like why he couldn't. I can't imagine he has like a non-compete in his contract or something.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And then, yeah, because he was going to – it was a one-year contract he was on anyway, so he's like –
yeah.
A free agent after this year anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, he's just dismissed. He's out of the league. I don't know if there's any like true connection from the NBA to China leagues or
okay.
Euro leagues as far as I know.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I didn't know if there was a rule. Like, yeah.
I don't know.
Can he come back? Can he appeal?
Yeah. But he can't appeal for 2 years.
I think he's also like in his early 30s right now.
Yeah,
yeah, so he's like, not going to be like, he's timing, not getting any younger.
Yeah, timing-wise, this is not
good. When OJ got kicked out, he could reapply in 4 years, but I mean, it's 4 years.
Yeah.
No one like doesn't play in the NBA for 4 years in their late 20s and then comes back and is good enough to still be there if they're a role player.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole it's stupid. Like, I don't know when the last time this rule was updated. I don't know. It's another piece of war on drugs bullshit. Are you against the drugs or are you against the user?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, this is America, so it's definitely not a...
yeah, absolutely.
it's in keeping with that. But like Matt said, it's for a league that pretends to be the progressive one. It's always a funny look.
Yeah, it's disheartening. But actually, on a lighter note, an entire team has been dismissed from the online.
Oh, yes.
The Houston Rockets Twitter account has been suspended. This was a day or two ago. This was like 2 days ago.
I cannot tell you how bad I wanted the Dallas Mavericks Twitter account to tweet a picture of like a laptop and a gun and say, shh, it'll all be over soon.
I did not hear this news. Why did they get suspended?
Apparently for music copyright violations.
Yeah,
that is the lamest thing ever.
Y'all can afford this.
It was they got suspended for putting Yakety Sacks over the video of them missing 27.
So I don't know, not much to it. Like they said, they're working on it. That's what the Rockets said, but it's kind of awesome. It's kind of the cherry on top of how they have been eliminated from playoffs.
It's great, yeah. The whiniest team has been banned off of Twitter.
Right.
I had a note real quick.
Hang a banner about it.
If we hadn't been banned off of Twitter, our audit shows that we would have gotten so many retweets and likes. And but because we mentioned the NBA being that progressive league, that best league, anyone who knows me knows I hate how much the, especially like the journalists and reporters around the NBA trumpet that. They just carry water for the league all the time. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the best league, everything. And people just say it about anything now. Like, I think it is the best league, the four major American sports league, but it's not good enough to be praised as much as it is. And there was a really solid take yesterday during all the Lakers drama that was just the epitome of these kind of takes that I hate, where this guy says, just bullet points, Wolves keep Saunders, for those that you don't know, the Timberwolves kept their head coach, Ryan Saunders, Magic blasts Pelinka takes high road, LeBron watches the circus, KD tweeting again, it's only 3 p.m. in the best league in the world.
Oh boy. And I was just like, continues to tweet, things are good.
Tell this guy to shut the fuck up.
those are all terrible.
Three,
like the most mundane, boring things ever happening.
Three of them aren't even things. Wolves keep their coach. Magic attacks a guy is a thing. You don't get to list that guy not responding as being like cool or something. Like, who cares?
Right.
And then LeBron witnessed it is definitely does not get to count on this list.
LeBron says nothing about it.
LeBron might have not witnessed it.
Two of these things are actually guys not doing something. And the other one is the Wolves not making a change.
I love Pelinka taking the high road. Like, softly defending yourself at a conference that is not about this is not taking the high road.
And why would taking the high road be like exciting to someone?
How is that notable?
It's like somebody goes like, imagine like Dame like says like, yo, I destroyed Westbrook in the series. And Westbrook goes, he really played great basketball. And everyone in the audience just goes, oh, shit.
Yeah, I am sitting back.
This man did not just take the high road on Dame.
I am stuffing popcorn into my mouth. As Damn, takes a high road, and I say, "Wow!"
On the low road,
this is epic.
Call this man Isaiah Thomas because he's below everybody else on that low ass road. Shut up, my God! The second best thing on this guy's list was Kevin Durant is tweeting again, and Kevin Durant sent two tweets yesterday. I hate this propaganda.
Well,
I mean, what do you put the blame on? The freaking Mavs kidnapping DeAndre Jordan and that craziness, and everyone's just trying to recreate it.
It's just how it acts now. Like the media for the NBA is so like overly effusive that it's just ridiculous. I don't care if fans are like this, but that we've gotten to the point where it's just nonstop praise coming from the people who cover the league is not a good thing. And since they like to take themselves as very self-serious journalists, if I do too, it's not a healthy thing for the league. Like the NFL gets a lot of bad press for its reporters not taking it to task and just carrying water for it, but just because people like the NBA more, they don't do the same thing. And it leads to situations where when the NBA does do things that are fucked up, no one calls them out for it because all the reporters are busy sucking up to them all the time.
Right.
I don't know when it started. It's a good question. It definitely seems like there was an uptick in it and during that crazy free agency that you mentioned when it was the emoji war and everything. It's like, this is the best league in the world. But it's really just – it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter in cases like this. But I do hate that that's the general tone of, like, NBA media and NBA journalism. It's not everyone, but it is the, like, prevailing tone.
Yeah. Like, we do like to say that this is one of the best, healthiest leagues, but we can't – just like settle with that and just be like, yeah, that means everything's fun. No, it's still your job to criticize like shitty things that are happening.
You can say it's the best league. Just be clear about how absurdly low that bar is.
Right.
Congrats on being better than the NFL, which is just Republican gladiator games. Dying and it's
FIFA beat.
It's legit. Has like an open partnership with the military.
Something to think about. The NBA media wouldn't be the way they are without the players, the coaches, the fans, the games themselves. Dr. James Naismith. I mean, without him,
I'm sorry,
the NBA media wouldn't be a dynasty.
Matt is the Wall Street Journal employee here. Don't you dare go stealing his hardware.
Don't put that evil on me.
Matt, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, don't put that evil on me. That's all I said.
I thought you were prepping for something a minute ago.
I cannot stress enough how little I work for the Wall Street Journal, meaning not at all.
I sort of work for a competitor, so if they're listening, I'm not doing both jobs.
Matt,
we get a lot of Wall Street listeners, so good call shouting them out.
Matt, the Wall Street people, my company.
3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you said, don't put that evil on me. Could you expand on that?
I can't. I don't really recall what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Now this guy's going to Russell Westbrook and not taking this podcast.
High road.
If you keep this up, then no podcast guests are going to want to talk on their podcasts, and all of a sudden we won't have this great access that everyone's so used to.
We're just trying to do our job, okay?
I'm trying, Jennifer.
Joe has a wife.
I'm going to take the high road here.
Yeah, woo!
And I know.
Who can relate?
And I'm taking the high road by giving Matt an opportunity to take the high road by clarifying his tweet that is also from 2016. LOL, Bernie Sanders made a dumb reference to the NBA. So much worse than Clinton being responsible for death and class destruction in the U.S.
I have no idea what that's about, but that sounds right. That's definitely worse. So I don't know. Can we argue that it's not worse? Can you make a valid argument, a sound argument?
No,
can you bend
so.
Shapiro me?
So.
No, in fact, anyone who makes dumb references about the NBA, I actually wish Benghazi's upon them.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It has been censored in a few episodes, so I'm going for it.
They have to censor you? Man,
they're not going to like...
Will's been censored a few times, so... He's been censored a few times that we can't share, or else we'd have to censor that.
That content's
well.
For the Patreon.
Right. Give me
I'm hearing
$2.
Breaking news. I have breaking news. Like,
okay,
actually
okay,
breaking
okay.
news. I'm hearing Eric Bledsoe is good.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Not again.
Guess who you're hearing?
It's halfway through the first quarter, so big things must be happening. He's got 2 points.
All right. Let's not forget
that is
one
big
rebound.
News. Hey, hey, that is big news.
Big news.
Right. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tweeted, Giannis aggressive mode engaged.
Okay.
The score was 5-0 at the time.
All right.
Little fucked
it's
up.
It's over.
It took Giannis until game 4 to engage in aggressive mode, but all right, better
late.
Yeah,
not a never. Good, not a good look.
Maybe if he was as competitive as Zach Collins, he would have done it earlier.
That's true.
Can Giannis
that's true.
Flip? All right. Can he stay flipped with the switch?
Mm.
Giannis wishes he was as competitive as Zach Collins.
He this wishes he could compete COVID. For Zach Collins -8.
I don't support this code language. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Giannis is lucky that he's way better at basketball than Zach Collins.
Say what you want otherwise. About Zach Collins, but at least I've heard of him.
That, you want to talk about coded language. That's just saying, say what you want about Zach Collins, but at least he's white.
That's not what I said. You can't prove that.
Run it back. Run
Photoshop.
The tape back.
You can't Photoshop voices. All right, so.
We will... audio.
It'll just be Will's
you.
Lower voice over top of Matt's.
Can you imagine my dumbass voice trying to pretend to be someone else?
You like, probably pull me off.
I was talking, imagine. And then this one word he said was suddenly so low only a dog could hear it.
Will, can you do any impressions? What's your best impression you can do?
Oh man, my best impression is only doing people who are doing impressions. So I can't do Nick Cage, but I can do Andy Samberg doing Nick Cage.
Okay.
That's for the Patreon though.
Okay.
Can all you right. do
yeah, that's fair.
Can you do an impression of Joe doing an impression of either Ja Rule or Magic Johnson?
I wouldn't dare touch those matches.
Oh yeah, it's the same octave of voice for sure. It's the same spot in the throat.
Or what are you, professional?
Those both come from.
This man's professional.
Will's only impression that he can do is a witness protection person on 60 Minutes when their face is blurred out and their voice is dubbed out. That's all he said.
I do a killer impression in of the Tomac, who has spent 23 years rooting for a worthless franchise. But man.
Spot on.
A lot of practice.
So you do a good Matt impression?
Did Matt become a Knicks fan when he was already like 6 years old?
Probably.
There you go.
I don't remember my first Knicks memory.
Fake fan. Probably. You're just a bandwagoner.
Yeah. I'm jumping out at the right time. I bandwagoned right on Linsanity, so that Ooh. Was fun.
Did
I went to their first... game in a while and streamed things at LeBron at MSG.
Ooh.
Still in debt from going to that game.
Did you
Please
get a Jeremy Lin jersey?
Mention that you said swears at MSG.
What'd I say? Oh, swears at MSG? Yeah. It was just me. No one else. They're all pretty quiet there. Calm people.
Hmm.
I don't have a Lin jersey. I have an old Amari jersey.
Okay.
I have an Anthony Mason jersey.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Anthony Mason. Yeah. Former Bucks legend, Anthony Mason.
How fondly do you remember the Knicks tape era? Like, are you, do you look back fondly on that, or are you like glad it's over?
I mean, before Melo, it was fun. That was my favorite team. I stopped liking the Knicks. I just reluctantly rooted for them. Like, not even root for them. What would you say you do for the Wizards, Will?
You like
watch?
I follow yourself? Them. I follow them, but like, I don't like them.
You don't know why? Yeah, that's how I am with the Knicks after they got Melo.
Yeah,
they traded away all my favorite players for Melo. That team was fun. They were just good enough to like maybe get the eighth seed and like win some games, but not good enough where people paid to go see them so I could still afford to. It was a good compromise.
That's a good spot to be in. It's basically the season like the Clippers just had.
Yeah.
Just fun. And the Clippers have some of those Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe Danilo Gallinari is just the most fun in the world. Is he still on the Clippers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
There you go.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
Come full circle.
That explanation of the Knicks tape era reminds me of the like Brandon Jennings Bucks era of like clamoring for the eight seed, like not that great a team, but fun to watch. It was like Andrew Bogut and Brandon Jennings and whoever Michael Redd at the tail end of his career and like nobody else. But
don't we want to just
Brandon Jennings would go off for like 50 plus points once a year, and that was great. It was beautiful.
It's fun. We want to watch and have fun. I don't really need them to win. I want it to be fun.
Yeah. No, I haven't been to a Bucks game since they got the new stadium, or the new arena. But I know that ticket prices have like skyrocketed. So
Joe is saying that he would give anything to go back to that era of Bucks basketball over this one.
No, I'm content with this era, but I wish I could go to the games once in a while. I've gone to a couple Pacers games. Those are a little more affordable, even though they're good, too.
I would like to reinforce that Matt's take is a fully full court mess approved take of you don't got to win it all. Just be enjoyable.
I just want everyone to have fun and be
happy.
We're just
out here. We're out here just rooting for everybody to win like some sort of idiots.
Just trying to have a good time.
Wearing my NBA brand tank top.
It's so impressive.
So you're just
Matt and I root for teams that are so bad that we're not even rooting for them to win, and we still can't enjoy it.
They're not fun.
They're not.
They're the least fun.
But our goals aren't even win, and they can't meet the bar.
No, they can't meet sports entertainment, which is like what it is. That's the bar to be in the league, basically, is be an entertaining sports team. And
relegate my team.
Should the NBA have relegation? That's what 100%. I was just going to ask. elevate Duke and Kentucky and send down the Wizards and the Knicks for a year.
No. No Duke. Just put the Wizards and the Knicks and, like, I don't know, the Suns. They're kind of fun.
It's not back.
Fun. The Wizards and the Knicks.
How dare you?
The Suns and the
They're not fun as a franchise.
Not fun.
Yeah. Well, if Devin Booker picks up like 70, it's fun, right?
Sure. That's one game a year, and then you got to listen to people be annoying about it.
Right. That makes that's it
more
not fun anymore.
Than we have. Just put us in our own league, and the Wizards and the Knicks will play 82 games against each other, and whoever comes out 43 and 41, like 42 and 40 will move back up to the NBA.
Put them back down to the G League.
The winners are all put in jail. Demoted. The losers pushed off a cliff.
Well, shall we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
Matt, you got any last words?
I do want to get in my Stephen A. Smith anecdote.
Yeah.
That my girlfriend's best friend and college roommate is brand ambassador essentially for Serena Williams. So she like follows her around everywhere, and she's works for Nike.
Okay.
And so she meets all these people all the time. And she met Stephen A. Smith at ESPN, and they had a nice long chat. This was only a couple years ago, I think. Nice long chat which ended with Stephen A. telling this nice young lady that she would make an excellent second wife for him.
Oh, no.
Perpetually horny.
Oh, no.
And she didn't really take him up on the offer, which...
Not all hours of the day. Incredible. Not all hours of the day.
Y'all know Stephen A. is a bootylegging hitman to the core now.
A great second wife.
Yes. I honestly didn't know he was
Stephen A's married. Wife. Do not read this.
What if he's not
Sarah,
married?
Hello.
This is Smith.
What if he's not married? But if he's like, yeah, you'd be good, but I would want a first wife first.
Yeah, we could have do this right off
the bat. Long-term plan.
Oh, man. How did she respond?
Was this just like apropos of nothing? Or did she say something like,
no, this is just at the end of the conversation. He just liked her.
Oh, man.
Having a good talk.
It was after she asked, if we were married, what number wife would I be for you?
Yeah, okay. All right. Then that makes sense.
Don't put this on her. I don't know if he's married. I'm trying to look up stuff about him.
Folks, this is real-time journalism, once again.
His net worth, $10 million. I don't believe that. It's going to be way more than that.
So much more.
Affair with, not available. Girlfriend, not available. Currently married, not available. Divorce, not available. Wow. Height 6'1", weight 135. That's
wait, what?
This is the wrong Stephen A. Smith.
No, it's him. It's a
this
picture of him.
Dying. He yells so much he doesn't get to eat.
Oh, big news from this website also. Stephen A. Smith rumored to be dating his girlfriend. Rumored to be dating his girlfriend. That's the headline.
Oh, no.
Joe rumored to be married to his wife. Breaking news.
Damn, I married my wife.
Really makes you think.
Terrible.
Oh, man. All right.
Thank you for that anecdote.
Yeah, that's good.
It was
close, strong.
Very good.
Well, as always, we will end it with a closing thinker or two. Back to one of my favorite players, Andre Iguodala, for our thinker. And I found two, so I'll do the shorter one first. This is from 2012, from at Andre. Talking to my son about marriage. How the hell you get this info?
From the Full Court Mess podcast, that's where.
Andre, it sounds like you're giving it to him.
Yeah. And then one to hear with, they must like playing with my balls in airports. Every time I go through that damn ROC machine, it light up right there.
Much to think about.
And that's Andre.
You should get that checked out.
That's Andre. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. If you would like to subject yourself to Matt's tweets, you can follow him at SatMasso, which we will be retweeting on our account, which you can check out at A Full Court Mess.
Send us your hot takes if you see them, or just DM us your own hot takes if you feel the need for speed.
It's always great. Get involved. Get hot. Your hotness level increases the more you interact with us. So
that's a fact.
Something to think about. That is the only fact we have on this non-fact show. So,
this
thanks for listening.
Got it more progressively horny as it went on.
Well, you know, what can you do when we're talking about the NBA?
It's not starting horny enough.
My dog is all riled up in the background too.
No. Okay,
well,
dog,
gotta log off of this thing before he goes wild.
All right, well, everyone, please remember that we love you.
Thank you very much.